chapter. Here we go. We're going to read the Easter story in three sections. Ready with those green words again. Jesus was in Jerusalem. He was there to celebrate the Passover feast, to remember how God had spared everyone whose house was marked with the blood of an innocent lamb. He knew that he was about to die, just like that lamb. He even knew that his disciple Judas had agreed to betray him to his enemies. So he arranged a place to eat, and he gathered with his disciples to share a meal. Then, surprise, he did something that no one else in the room expected. He took off his robe, tied a towel around his waist, filled a basin with water, and began to wash his disciples' feet. Simon Peter spoke up, like he always did. "Do you mean to wash my feet?" he asked. "I do," Jesus replied. "And one day you will understand." Why no, insisted Peter, shaking his head. "You will never wash my feet." Now, perhaps Peter's feet were particularly smelly. That day, more likely, he knew this was a servant's job and not for something that a master like a rabbi should do. "If I don't," Jesus answered, "you will not be part of what I am doing." "Then wash me head to toe," Peter cried. When Jesus had washed their feet. Are we all right? You're keeping up? You've got a few washes. Five washes. I'll keep you. If you've got strain on your arm, don't worry. All their feet, even the feet of the man who had betrayed him. He put his robe back on. "Do you understand what I have just done?" he asked. "If I, your master, can wash your feet, then surely you can wash each other's feet. For a servant is no greater." Keep up, Linda, come on. "Than his master. Know this, and more than that, do it. Serve one another." Then Jesus looked sad. He had another surprise in store for them, a surprise that was not very nice. "One of you will betray me," he sighed. The surprise worked. The disciples couldn't believe it and spent the next few minutes chattering, confused. Here we go. Among themselves. Who is it? They wanted to know. So Jesus dipped a piece of bread into some sauce. "And once the one I give it to," he said, "is my betrayer." And he handed the bread to Judas. Who's Judas? Are you Judas? "And what do you do?" Oh, sorry. "Do what you have to do," he whispered to Judas. "And do it quickly." When Judas has gone, Jesus took another piece of bread. There was one last surprising thing he needed to do. He thanked God for the bread, and he passed it round to his disciples and said, "Eat, this is my body." When they had done so, he picked up a cup of wine and thanked God for that as well. "Drink this," he told them, "it's my blood." God made promises to his people in the past, to Abraham and to Moses and to David. This is the new promise, a promise of forgiveness. We've got another one. In this new promise of forgiveness made possible through the blood. "And listen, I will not drink from the cup with you again until I am made anew in the kingdom of my Father." When the meal had finished, Jesus and his disciples sang a hymn, and then wandered off towards the Mount of Olives. Only Jesus knew that a night of sad surprises lay before them. So he's taken us back to that events that we call now called Maundy Thursday, don't we? And we think about when Jesus met with his closest friends for the last time to share that meal together before he was to go for the cross. Now, here's the exciting bit, isn't it? Because I'm going to say some things. That's what you do. There's 11 prizes on offer here. So you've got, if you're in 11, if you've got green, only for green. So wash, smelly, understand, and greater. God, you deserve one, don't you? And we, you know, wash. Where's smelly? Have you got understand or greater? What have you got? Greater. Who had understand? Oh, Pete at the back there. Oh, wow. Yeah, Pete, you ready? It's coming your way. Okay. You know, it's one of my favorite stories in the Bible. When Jesus washes his disciples' feet, it gives us this beautiful example, I think, of humility. And he says these words, "Do you understand what I have done? For a servant is no greater than his master." So it challenges, you see, us as Jesus' followers today. Now, who's got Judas betray or betrayed? Judas, oh, there you go. There you go, betray and betrayed, okay? Because in some ways, if we are honest, have we not all betrayed Jesus? With our sin, with the wrong words that we've spoken, with the wrong choices that we've made, with the wrong actions that we've followed, with the wrong attitudes that we've held. Isn't it true that in some ways we've all betrayed Jesus? What about remember, blood, and thanked? Remember, blood, and thanked. There you go. There you go, Jenny. I'm not sure why, but you can sure you give it to somebody. Have you got one? It's coming up. Oh, no, I'm going to throw it that way. Take somebody's head off one. It's not great. Oh, and Irene's got one there. Okay. All right. Is that you, Irene? Brilliant. Here we go. Wonderful. Chocolate egg for you. Okay. We know, don't we, that Christians all around the world still remember, still give thanks using bread and wine, which represents the body and the blood of Jesus. We did that here on Good Friday in our own church. And we remember that that is because there is a promise of forgiveness through the death and the body and the blood of Jesus. There's only one more word in this section. Oh, those greens are a bit panicking, a bit worried. And the word I've chosen, the final one, is the word David. Because it's a good name. It's a good name, so I've picked it. That's the only reason that I've picked it. Well, let's carry on just a little bit further. We're going to sing, and we're going to sing. Let's go a little bit further in our story, into our second section. He's taking us back to Good Friday. It's entitled A Very Dark Day, and it's our red words. So if you've got a red word, this is your good wave in when you get to your section. 38 red words, 15 prizes on offer. We're all doing good. I'm good at it. Look, it's all there. Look at all my eggs. Can in there. Are we ready? Let's have those words up as we go along. A very dark day. The night began with prayer in a garden called Gethsemane. Jesus knew that he was going to die because his enemies wanted him gone. because it was what God wanted too, and what the prophets had promised, that the Messiah would be like a lamb, sacrificed for the sins of the world. Judas had already gone to tell Jesus' enemies where he was. They'd arrived soon, so Jesus prayed, "Take away this cup," he said, "these awful things I must suffer. But if it truly is what you want, Father, I will do it." Then it began. One awful thing followed another. First, there was a kiss. Jesus planted it on Jesus' cheek. So the temple guards, with their clubs and their swords, knew exactly which man to arrest. A religious court came next. Jesus was dragged before the high priest and the other religious leaders. Witnesses lied about him. Yeah. When he finally admitted that he was indeed the Messiah God had promised to send, they were outraged and sentenced him to death. Then the mocking began. They made fun of him, spat in his face. They blindfolded him and dared him to say who had hit him. Then they took him to Pilate, the Roman governor. So there was a trial. This man says he's the king. So to rival Caesar, the Roman emperor. They said to Pilate, "He must die." But then Pilate questioned Jesus. He couldn't find that he'd done anything wrong. So the religious leaders whipped up the crowd to cry out, "Crucify him!" Eager to avoid a riot. Got a bit of a riot going on. Pilate gave in. "I'm innocent of this man's blood," he announced. So he washed his hands and he turned Jesus over to the soldiers. Then it was horror on horror, a criminal. That's how those soldiers treated Jesus. They whipped his back till it bled, tore off his clothes and replaced them with a red robe. They jammed a crown made of thorns on his head, stuck a reed like a scepter in his hand. They bowed before him and mocked him. "Hail, King of the Jews," they cried. Then they tore off the robe and beat him with the reed and led him away to be crucified. A wooden cross. That's what they laid on his back. They marched him to the hill called the Skull. They laid him on the cross, hammering nails through his hands and his feet to put him to the wood. Then they raised the cross between two of us for everyone else to see. Curses! That's what he had from his enemies. And from a thief on one of the other crosses. "If you're the Messiah," the man demanded, "save yourself and save us too." But the thief, hanging on the other side, said, "We deserve to be here, but this man has done nothing wrong." He asked Jesus to take him to his kingdom when he died, and Jesus replied, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Crying, that's what Jesus' mum was doing as she waited there and watched him suffer. So he asked his disciple John to take her home with him. Even the soldiers received his kindness. As they gambled for his clothes, he asked God to forgive them. Then the sky grew dark. And that's when it happened. The curtain. The curtain in the temple that hung between the people and the most holy place, a sign of the distance between them and God, was torn in two. As it was torn, Jesus breathed his last words. Into your hands, Father, I commit my spirit. Then a centurion, a Roman commander who'd been watching, said, surely this man was innocent. And it was over. And all that Jesus' enemies had hoped for, or so they thought, for the promise of the prophets and all that God wanted was yet to be revealed. And there was more, so much more to come. So as we think about those events that we now think about more on Good Friday, here's a few of my words and here's a chance to win a little bit more chocolate. So who's got the words Gethsemane and awful? Oh, Steve got awful. There we go. Chocolate egg for you, young man. And another one over here. There we go. Chocolate egg for you too. There we go. Okay, there's a lot of chocolate eggs on offer here, I can tell you. You know, as Jesus prayed in the garden, he knew what suffering was going to happen to him. But yet he says those amazing words to his Father, I will do it. So who's got the word Messiah? Irene, chocolate egg for you. Well done. Okay. Jesus would be the Lamb, wouldn't he? Sacrificed for the sins of the whole world. Who's got death and he must die? Whoa, right back there. Right, okay, are we ready? Can you catch? It's coming. Okay, and he must die. Here we go. It's coming. Well done, okay. Jesus had to pay the price. That's what we believe as Christians. He must die. Not, though, through the crowd's chants, but through through love. Who's got the word innocent and deserve? Oh, Alison's got one. She was trying to get some inside knowledge, you know, before, and I said, no! No inside knowledge. You know, we have the story of the thief on the cross next to Jesus who says, we deserve to be here, but this man has done nothing wrong. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21 says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Who's got the word suffer, clothes, thorns, or beat? Ooh, there we go. There we go. There we go. There's one. What have you got? Clothes, suffer. Oh, there we go, we've got four. That's good. Break in. Roland Cassidy, there you go. Mike, got one. Brilliant. Here we go. Chocolate eggs all around today, isn't it? Okay. And I think those words, that word suffer, the word clothes, because remember his clothes being torn, the thorns rammed onto his head, and the beating that he took just reminds us again what Jesus had to endure for each one of us. And then we have the wooden cross. Who had that? Oh, it's Adam. Are you ready? Took him out. But you see, the wooden cross, isn't it? It's our symbol, isn't it? I talk about this so much in schools when I used to go into schools about the cross. And they used to say, and we've got crosses all over. Even our windows are cross, and we've got a cross, and we've got the cross on these posters and banners. Today, it's the symbol for us, isn't it? It's a symbol of pain. We know that. But it's also a symbol of sacrifice for each one of us, and it's a symbol of love. Paradise. Who had the word paradise? Paradise. Again, that conversation with Jesus on the cross with one of the thieves. And he says those words, "Today you will be with me in paradise." What does that mean? Well, it gives us a hope of heaven. It wasn't the end. This life, this death is not the end. Who's got the word curtain? Oh, well done, Andrea. Okay, oh, chuck it too. I want to take out the whole band before we finish. The whole worship group before we finish. You know, this curtain thing is really important. I'm interested that he was written in there in the story. Because we're told that the curtain in the temple that hung between the people and the holy place was torn in two. And that was so, so significant. Because when Jesus died on the cross, when the curtain was torn in two, it was a symbol that because of the cross, access to God was now available for all. Not just a few, not just the special, not just the bosses, but for all. Who's got the word more? Oi! Oh, well done. You're doing well in your family, aren't you? Okay. And you've done well because you've been fasting. You've been not having chocolate over Lent, haven't you? The word more is important because we've talked about Maundy Thursday when Jesus had that Last Supper with his friends. We've talked about Good Friday when we remember what Jesus did on the cross. And if that was it, well, I'm not so sure the story is even worth telling. But there's more. And the more of why we're here today is in many ways what lifts it to everything that we are celebrating today. So we have one more colour to tell. But before we do, we're going to sing again. We're going to sing. Oops. Are we ready? Those have been waiting patiently with your blue words. Okay, there are 43 blue words and there are 18 prizes. The greatest miracle of all. Are we ready? It was dark, dark before dawn, and dark in the hearts of the women that crept to the tomb. Their friend Jesus was dead, and sadness surrounded them like a shadow. But Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and another Mary, the mother of James, had a job to do. They had to cover their friend's body with spices. According to the custom of the time, it wouldn't be easy to look again on the wounds that he suffered as he died. But they were determined to do this one last act of kindness for their friend. Silently they went, and as the dawn broke, they saw the tomb. And each one gasped, surprised. The tomb that sealed... The stone that sealed the tomb had been rolled away. They went inside. There was no body. And to their surprise, turned to confusion. Where was he? Who had taken him? That's when two angels appeared, white and bright and frightening. And the women fell face down on the ground, confusion replaced by fear. "Why are you looking for your friend here?" the angel asked. "This is a place for dead people, but your friend Jesus is alive. He has risen. Back when you were with him in Galilee, he told you what would happen. Remember, he said the Messiah would be handed over to the evil men and crucified and would then rise again in 3 days' time." Of course they remembered, and they hurried to tell the rest of Jesus' disciples their good news. it came flooding back. But when they got there and described what they had seen, no one believed them. The other disciples thought they were making the whole thing up. So off Peter went to see for himself. When he entered the tomb, he found nothing but the linen clothes where Jesus' body had been wrapped. And like the women, he went back to the others amazed. It got all of them talking. And that's what it did. Where was Jesus now? Why hadn't they expected this? Why had they forgotten that he told them what would happen next? They talked about it, and then that evening, two of the disciples who had gone back to their homes in Emmaus came rushing back with the news that they had actually seen Jesus and talked with him on the road. That's when Jesus appeared to the rest. Just like that. In the room, out of nowhere, boom! Oh, just check in. The disciples were terrified. They thought it was a ghost, but Jesus put their minds at rest. Ghosts don't have bones, he said. Touch my hands and my feet and see it's me. And come to think of it, I'm feeling a bit peckish. So they made him a meal. And through a mouthful of fish, he added, ghosts don't need to eat either. Finally, he taught them through all the other things that Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms had said would happen to the Messiah, that he helped them to understand that God's special promise was one always supposed to die and be resurrected, and that he had come to turn people's hearts back to God and forgive them for all the wrong things that they had done. You are my witnesses, he told them. You watched everything I did, heard everything I taught, and now you see me here alive. So go and tell the world. Start right here in Jerusalem, but don't go just yet, for I have one more gift to leave with you. The promise of my Father that will give you the power you will need to do what I have asked. Then, as quickly as he had come, Jesus left. So, here's your last chance for chocolate. 18 chocolates on offer here. Whoa, it's just generosity is overwhelming. Okay, so, who's got the word sadness? Oh, right at the back. Okay, Damien, we catch this for the lady behind you. Okay, well done, mate. Okay, sadness. You know, all of Jesus' close friends thought, even though he told them, thought that he had gone. There was real sadness. But then, who's got tomb and rolled? Oh, we know he's got tomb. four tombs. You know, on the third day, some of them went to the tomb and they found the stone was rolled away. It was empty. So, who's got rise again, resurrected, and alive? Ooh, well done, Josh. Okay, there's one. There we go. Who's got? There we go. Lynn's got one. Ooh. Let's get in. Which one? One more? Somewhere, all the way out there. Are we ready? Are we good at catching? Well done. Oh, they did well. And this is it, isn't it? This is why we're here today, more than anything else, because Jesus had risen. Let's give a cheer. Hey! It's worth a cheer, isn't it? Jesus has risen. He was resurrected. He is alive. Good news! Who's got good news? Okay. Have you got some good news for us? Okay. Well, I've got some good news for you, because this was good news not just for the disciples. This is good news for you and me today. Jesus has conquered sin and death. Amazed! Well done, are you ready? Oh, sorry, that was a bit of a battered one. Caught it on the chair. Well, amazed, as Craig Revel Horwitz would say, this is amazing. It is. This is amazing news, people. It really is. Emmaus, talked, seen. Who's got those words? Emmaus, talked, seen. Okay. Well, there's one. There's talked. Oh, where we got? We've got one there. We might be one missing then. Are we one missing? Oh, no, there we are. There we go. Sorry, Jenny. There we go. Jesus had appeared, hadn't he, to some of his followers on this road to Emmaus. And we're told that they had seen him and they taught with him. Hands and feet. Oh, well done. Hands, feet. Oh, welcome. Well played. Hands and feet. See, when Jesus first appeared to his disciples, we're told that Thomas, one of his disciples, was not there. And Thomas needed more proof. Jesus appeared again, and this time Thomas was able, we're told, to touch the hands and the feet of Jesus. But I like John 20, verse 29. Jesus says these words, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen me physically, but yet still believe." Do you believe in Jesus today? Then you're blessed. It's me. Who's got it's me? Oh, there you go. You thought you'd lost it then, didn't you? There you go. I thought he'd missed out now. It's me. Have we had that revelation? That's the question, isn't it? Have we had that revelation? Have we met with the risen Jesus? Can we say that? It's me. Can we say it is? I met him. And then the word hearts. Who's got the word hearts? 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 Nobody got the word. Oh, there we are. She's got the word hearts. I'm coming. There we go. She's got the word hearts. Have you got the word hearts as well? Have we given two hearts out? Oh, must have miscounted. But anyway, that's my bag. One less egg for me. Jesus came to turn people's hearts back to God. Has your heart turned back to God? That's the question, isn't it? Has your heart turned back to God? One, two, three. Who had number one? Number one. Well done. Who had two? Three? Oh, there we go. They have got them there. Okay. One, two, three. There we go. And you know, this is one of the ways I always remind people. I did an assembly the other day, and I use this. I always remind this. That Easter, in many ways, is about one, two, three. It's about one person. It's about this person called Jesus. God's Son come to earth. Two, it's about two amazing events in the life of this person, Jesus. He died on a cross for us on Good Friday, but he rose again for us 3 days later, on the third day, on Easter Sunday. One person, Jesus. Two amazing events over 3 days, but there's one more for you and for me. All this is for you, and it's for me. That's the story of Easter. Do we know it? Do we believe it? Have we received it? I'm going to just swap around a little bit time-wise. Because there was one last word in my thing, and it was the word gift. Oh, did Emma get it? Oh, Emma, you did well there. You got the last one. Well done. She's like, oh, see the joy on her face. It's a joy on her face. And it's this, when Jesus talked about leaving a gift for his followers, he was talking about the Holy Spirit. He was saying, you're going to go out in my name to tell others. And he was talking about leaving them the gift of the Holy Spirit. But before you go today, we've got a gift for you. We want to give you one of our butterflies. Alison's done a lot of these, but I know some other people, Sally and Janet and Marilyn, I think, and other people have done this. And we've been using these to give out to people, these little crocheted butterflies, to remind people of the Easter story. And it just says this on here. It says, just as the caterpillar becomes a chrysalis, so after the cross, Jesus' body was placed in a tomb. And then it says, just as the butterfly breaks out of the chrysalis, so Jesus rose from the grave on the third day. And then it says, just as the butterfly can remind us of new life, so the Easter story reminds us of that God offers us new life to all who believe today. The butterfly is just a very simple symbol that we've been using this year to think about the Easter story, to think about the meaning of Easter. Because the butterfly, like I say, it dies, it feels like the caterpillar feels like it dies, entombed, breaks out. And it reminds us in some ways that it gets transformed. I think that's the word I kind of feel. And again, I did the assembly recently in Burnley Brow, no, Bear Tree School, and I used these opposite words, and they had to find me an opposite. So I had a word like hot, and they had to go find the word cold. Or I had the word north, and they had to go find the word south. And I was using this, and we did this silly game. But what I was trying to say to these pupils at the school was that because of Easter, everything changed. The opposite. It kind of just changed everything. Where there was death, there was now life. Where there was hopelessness, there was no hope. Where there was sin, there's now forgiveness. Where people were sad, then there's chance for joy. Because he lives, everything changes. And the butterfly reminds us of new life. Easter is a promise of new life, the offer of God's promise of new life to you and to me. New life while we're on this earth, in this place, that we can have his life with us, his friendship, and we can travel all the life brings on us with the life of him as part of us. But also it's a promise of new life for those who believe one day in that paradise, in that heavenly place with Jesus. So as you go today, we're going to give you a butterfly, if you want one. I'm not sure I've got one for everyone, but we've got one for every household, if nothing else. And you can keep this, and you can put it somewhere in your house as a reminder of Easter. Would you like my butterfly? There we are. It reminds us of Easter. But you might want to take one, and you might want to take one of these little cards, and you might want to give it away to remind somebody else. Maybe somebody who's not fully aware of the amazing time. Maybe somebody who thinks this time of year is about chocolate and bunny rabbits. Maybe we can remind them it's actually about the new life offered in Christ on the resurrection of Jesus. So, take one of those with you before you go today. So we're going to kind of move towards the end of our service. We're going to sing. But we just pray that the words of that song will echo into us more and more. Because of this day, because of this resurrection day, because you live, everything changes. Lord, we can face tomorrow differently because we have a risen Jesus on our side. Lord, I pray that we will just remember that you go with us, you go into this world, and we will take you into this world because this world so needs to know that you are not just a story in a book, you are not just a swear word to sometimes utter, that you are real and that you came to save, to love, to forgive, to heal, to restore. And because you live, everything changes. There is life in its fullness, life in hope, for now and for eternity. We praise you. We thank you. I pray that we might live for you as examples of you in this world around us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing our final.